This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, T. Shao-Yik, Lim Soo Ann, and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, we talked about a new tyrannosaur species that's been discovered in Alberta, Canada. We spoke to the paleontologist who was involved in that find and in studying the fossil specimens. And now on to our second story. It's about pangolins.
Yes, so amidst all the news and updates you might have seen on the COVID-19 outbreak, you might have seen news reports about the possible role of pangolins in spreading the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is the official name for the current novel coronavirus that's causing the disease. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of weeks ago, actually, China Xinhua News Agency reported on a study which was analysing samples from, I think, about 1,000 wild animals. Mm-hmm. And what the researchers found was that the pangolins were the most likely intermediate host of the virus.
So the study was led by the South China Agricultural University, and the researchers said that the genome sequence of the coronavirus strain that was separated from pangolins had a 99% match to the strain from infected people. Mm. Previously, bats have already been discussed as a possible reservoir of the virus. And this is similar to the SARS outbreak in 2003, when the virus was suspected to have jumped from bats to civet cats, which then spread to humans. Mm. So in the case of COVID-19, the findings suspect that pangolins are the intermediary between the bats and humans. And if pangolins were an intermediary host, the widespread illegal trade of these animals could have played a part in its spread.
Yeah, so environment news site Monger Bay spoke to Benjamin Newman, who's a virologist at the Texas A&M University, Texarkana, and he said that to find the definite host of the virus would require the screening of a lot of animals, especially mammals, until the closest match is found. And while the current pangolin-derived sequences are the closest match to the virus so far, he emphasized that they still have around 3,000 genetic differences from the virus that causes COVID-19.
Yeah, and he also, several other scientists have also said that the study itself has not been published, so it's not gone through, your usual peer review for verification, and so the report is still inconclusive, and at the moment it is sort of viewed as a suggestion. So in the meantime, scientists caution that, we shouldn't, while we are reading these news reports, we shouldn't jump to conclusions before the research is properly published and reviewed.
Yeah, and this news comes just before World Pangolin Day. Actually, that happened this past Saturday, and World Pangolin Day is celebrated every third Saturday of February. And it's a day that's meant to, further highlight the plight of the pangolins, of which there are 8 species found across parts of Africa and Asia. So pangolins are shy, solitary animals, and they are easily recognized by their full armour of scales. Mm. Here's a bit of a fun fact. The name pangolin comes from the Malay word penggulung, because it will curl itself into a tight ball when it is threatened, and its scales are hard for any predator to penetrate. Except there is one predator of the pangolin who is not deterred by its scales, and that's the humans.
Yes, and so if you don't know much about pangolins or why they're under threat, here's a clip from National Geographic for a brief 101 on pangolins.
Despite its lizard-like appearance, the pangolin is indeed a mammal. Some pangolins are as small as a house cat, while others are as big as a medium-sized dog. Pangolins are covered in as many as 1,000 scales, which protect them from predators like big cats. When threatened, a pangolin's natural defense is to curl up into a ball. Unfortunately, there's one predator that pangolins aren't able to protect themselves against: humans. According to some estimates, poachers have hunted more than 1 million pangolins in the past decade. Poachers use trafficking routes that span the globe, frequently shifting routes to evade law enforcement. All 8 pangolin species, found only in tropical Asia and sub-Saharan Africa, are now at risk of extinction. Pangolins are killed for a variety of uses, from medicine to luxury goods, with the greatest demand in China and Vietnam. Pangolin scales, often powdered or made into a paste, are prescribed in traditional medicine for everything from relieving arthritis to stimulating lactation. However, these remedies have no scientific basis. In fact, pangolin scales are made of keratin, the same material found in fingernails. Pangolin fetuses, sometimes consumed in soup, are erroneously thought to enhance a man's virility. But only the wealthy can afford to eat pangolin, which is consumed in parts of Asia to demonstrate social status. In 2016, CITES, the International Treaty on Wildlife Trade, voted to ban all commercial trade in pangolins. However, these creatures continue to be poached at an alarming rate, even causing a devastating crash in Asian pangolin populations. Recently, poachers have increasingly turned to African species. The largest confiscation of pangolin scales occurred in 2017, which, according to one estimate, came from about 20,000 African pangolins. Making prospects worse for pangolin conservation, pangolins face habitat loss. Plus, they reproduce slowly, giving birth to only one baby a year. But why should we care about an animal most people have never heard of? Pangolin dealers are often part of the same worldwide criminal networks that drive other animals, such as elephants and rhinos, toward extinction. Plus, loss of pangolins could prove to be an ecological and economic disaster for local communities. Pangolins eat termites that might otherwise destroy crops and buildings. Pangolins also suffer abuses in the wildlife trade, such as force feeding and injuries from snares. A few lucky pangolins survive being trafficked. Confiscated pangolins in Vietnam, for example, may be sent to a rescue center and returned to the wild. There's a lot of work to be done to ensure the survival of pangolins. Countries must work to reduce demand and enforce laws against poaching. Otherwise, these gentle creatures may disappear before most people even know they exist.
Malaysia is home to the Sunda pangolin, which is found across Southeast Asia. It's been declared as critically endangered on the IUCN Red List, which is just one level below extinct in the wild. So pretty bad there. Mm-hmm. And however, we don't have numbers on how many pangolins are left in the wild, simply because their nocturnal and elusive nature, you know, really makes it quite difficult to observe them in the wild.
And that National Geographic video was made in 2018. And since then, there's been many more seizures of pangolins across the world, including here in Malaysia. Just over a year ago, Malaysia made the largest seizure of pangolin products in the country at a record of, get this, 29.8 tons. Well done, Malaysia. God. Authorities had raided two major pangolin processing factories in Sabah and discovered about 1,800 boxes of frozen pangolins, but also 61 live pangolins and 361 kilos of their scales. And more recently, in December last year, Chinese authorities had also seized a shipment in Wenzhou in Zhejiang province, which contained more than 25 tons of pangolin scales from Nigeria.
But alongside news of seizures, what we hear of less often is what happens to the pangolins after they've been seized. So in the Nat Geo clip you heard earlier, they mentioned how Vietnam sends pangolins to a rescue center before their return to the wild. But in some cases, these animals don't meet a happy ending after all, especially if they don't receive the necessary care before they're released into the wild. So here's a clip from a previous Earth Matters interview with pangolin researcher Dr. Chong Julian, where she explains what happens to seized pangolins and pangolin products in Malaysia.
From what I gathered, because I did contact some of the wildlife officers, what they try to do is once they have recorded the details needed for pangolins as evidence for, say, charging somebody or, you know, in court, they will release the pangolin as soon as possible. Okay. But unfortunately, sometimes, you know, due to lack of manpower and resources and also due to time limits, you know, because when the pangolins are confiscated, sometimes they are already in a very bad condition.
Yeah, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, they are sick and then they have not been eaten for days. And sometimes some of them have a lot of parasites on them, ectoparasites. You have ticks jumping on them.
Oh, no.
Yep. Okay. And you can imagine you're already weak and imagine you are having all these blood suckers on you,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is really bad. So I can understand why the urgency, like they'll okay, we're just going to weigh them, and then, okay, this is going to be, okay, this is a female one, this is a male one, okay, record them down, and then, okay, that's it. Let's go and release the animals first. But unfortunately, sometimes without proper care, these animals will not survive. Mm-hmm. So this is why we were also talking about rehabilitation, and maybe some care should be taken for the animals before we release them to the wild. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for pangolin products and derivatives, usually from what I understand, once the authority get hold of them, you know, in confiscation and in what's those seizures and whatever, they would dispose of those.
I see.
So okay. It doesn't go back into the trade. They will kind of, from what I heard, some are burned and then some are probably, you know, buried under a few foot of soil.
So if you want to listen to more of that interview, you can look up Protecting Pangolins on BFM.my or on the BFM app. Mm. And, you know, as we know, pangolins are already facing quite a significant and still growing threat from the illegal wildlife trade. I mean, we've often read reports about smuggling rings here in Malaysia, people trying to smuggle live pangolins.
And look at that raid last year.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and they're also facing the loss and fragmentation of their habitat, which makes it even more difficult for them to breed, to find places to stay and food. As well, and now conservationists are also worried that, you know, seeing reports of pangolins being a potential host of the COVID-19 virus, that would incite fear among people of the animals. And so, in an interview with CBS News, Bill Zeigler, who's a researcher at the Brookfield Zoo's Chicago Zoological Society, he shared this concern as well.
My concern is if we don't word it right and people become afraid of pangolins, they may go out, and if they find a pangolin in the wild, in which case there is real no issue there, it's not a danger to you as far as transferring a disease, they would kill it anyway because they're afraid of it.
So Dan Challander, who's the head of the pangolin specialist group at the IUCN, also said that, quote-unquote, we should be cautious about the messages we associate with these claims because the research has not yet been published. So the outcomes for pangolins could be positive or negative or both, but caution is needed because we don't actually know that pangolins were involved.
Yeah.
It goes back again to how they have not verified the study yet, but, you know, reports have come out. And, of course, like, I think now in this climate where people are constantly, like, hanging on to every news that you get about COVID-19, you would immediately report on that.
Yeah. Yes, and everybody just really wants to know what would be the source of this virus. I mean, it makes sense. We also need to know if it's coming from a certain type of trade in animals. We'd be able to clamp down on that. But like you said, some caution in these findings. Yeah,
I think the problem with these sorts of messaging is that as soon as you see a pangolin, then you want to kill it.
That's
because
right.
you think, oh, this is the cause of the virus. I mean, that we've seen that happen with bats especially.
Right.
You know, it just causes unnecessary and unfounded fear for the creatures itself. And, you know, we really don't want that to happen to the pangolins.
Yes. And ultimately, it's human activity that that is leading to this zoonotic transmission of diseases. We are encroaching into their habitats. We are poaching and killing them for food.
And we're keeping them in conditions where they're all trapped together you know,
stressed
passing viruses
and,
to each other and then consuming them. So, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes when you read of news or you see images of these pangolins, like even if they're alive, when they're seized, you know, they're in such horrible conditions. I mean, Dr. Chong was talking about ticks on them, and there's some reports of them, you know, losing limbs because of snares and all that. And it's just really heartbreaking to see.
Yeah. So if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share about any of the two stories that we've discussed today, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or drop us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. That's all the time that we have for now. If you missed any part of the show earlier, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify.
I just wanted to interrupt. Sorry that we just got one message over on Twitter.
Okay.
Stephen said that, I think referring to our earlier story, he said that stegosauruses are the boss.
Right.
Also, you know, and I think in relation to our second story, pangolins and other animals will not be the cause of human extinction. Humans will be the cause of human extinction,
absolutely.
You know, with our destructive nature to our planet and all her inhabitants. Couldn't agree with you more. So yeah, he's basically saying don't eat more exotic meat. Don't mess with nature.
That's right. Thanks very much for tuning in. We leave you now with Blue Monday, certainly a Blue Monday for pangolins, by Fats Domino, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.